From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the seventh day of February 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. As we close out our time together, Mike Tenura will be here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago to discuss the forecast, not only for the Midwest and the United States, where he says it'll be wet, but also for Brazil and South America, where it's also likely to be a little on the wet side. And we'll discuss the cash grain market too, that with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds, agmarket.net. That's something new, so we'll tell you about that as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hey, have you purchased your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook yet? I hope so, but if not, do it online right now at willag.org or 800-898-1065. The All-Day Ag Outlook is Tuesday, March the 5th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. A dozen of our regular on-air analysts, plus Eric Snodgrass, will help us take a look at the weather forecast, and Murray Wise of Murray Wise Associates will discuss the value of farmland. Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, now joins us here on the Closing Market Report to talk about the agricultural commodities and futures prices. Good afternoon to you, Dan. I think let's start with tomorrow rather than today. We'll get to today in just a bit, but tomorrow is a big USDA report day. All the reports that we were supposed to get in January were due out, with the exception, I suppose, of the WASDE numbers, and those will be the WASDE figures for February. Most have been thinking that this report might be good for the bottom line for corn in particular. What's your thought on the process?
Well, I mean, corn has the, you know, when you look at all three commodities, corn is still the one that has the best balance sheet to start with, because, I mean, soybeans, whether you're 9.25 or 9.75 or billion even, I don't know if that makes any difference. Wheat is also the same thing. You've got a billion bushel carry out in wheat, give or take 50 million, doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Corn, the trade is still looking for corn carryout to kind of be in that 1.7 range. So that is still relatively tight compared to the other two commodities when you look at stocks to use ratio and whatnot. And of course, generally, the general thought is that corn acres, you know, could increase, though. That's probably the negative, is corn acres could increase and bean acres are likely to decrease for at least in the United States here this coming year. A lot of that, I think, will depend upon what kind of spring we have. That's usually the case. If we have a late spring, you know, the increase in corn acres may not materialize and we'll be back to the kind of the acreage levels that we had last year. But if we have a real, well, I meant if we have an early spring, we'll probably, you know, get a few more corn acres. But if you get into a late spring, then you'll have less corn acres and more bean acres. So that kind of is and that's to be yet to be determined. We're still a couple months away before we start seeing anything. But I think tomorrow's reports, I mean, we're going to get the whole ball of wax, and you can see, generally speaking, the trade kind of feels that, you know, harvested acres are going to come down a little bit in corn, could come down a little bit in soybeans. They're looking at yield, maybe corn yield coming down a half a bushel, or actually maybe a little bit more than that, a bushel, a full bushel, beans maybe a half a bushel. So, you know, they're kind of thinking production is going to be around this 14.5 billion bushel range, and they're looking for soybean production to be, you know, almost 4.57 billion bushels. And that leaves, like I said, carryouts around 1.7 on the corn, 926 on the beans, and almost a billion on the wheat. That's kind of what the trade estimates are looking at. as long as USDA doesn't show anything too big, I just really don't see any major shocker in the report because we just have too much supply. It'll probably be more interesting to see what USDA maybe does with the South American crop. I mean, I think we're thinking that the Brazilian crop is going to be coming down a few million tons, but the Argentina crop might come up a little bit. That'll be the big thing. But I think when it's all said and done, when the numbers are all digested, it's probably still going to show fairly adequate supplies of corn, soybeans, and wheat. And since the market has been kind of trading, you know, January, we kind of trended higher. We trended higher here during the first few days of February. And that always scares me when you start out a new month by making higher highs than the previous month, because that tells me then you're beginning about the middle of the month, you could start tilting back down for a correction, and before you know it, you've got monthly reversals on the table, on the charts. The only thing that would change that would be is if we ended up maybe if this China deal would come through a little sooner, but it looks to me like any kind of major China deal is still a couple weeks away. You still got to get Trump and the China president at meeting. That's probably then you'll maybe begin to see some things announced, and you'll begin to see some things that's maybe going to be, that'll give us some actual numbers, if that's possible, of what their intentions are going to be on some kind of trade deal. That's probably going to be more important than probably tomorrow's report, because I don't see tomorrow's report changing anything. But when it comes to a report like tomorrow, that's been with the January numbers have been delayed, and you're going to get a whole bunch of stats. There's always a surprise. What it would be, I don't know. Maybe things are going to be smaller than expected. But I think the market has kind of worked some of that stuff into it by having price strength during January and the first part of February.
Yeah, so those reports are due out at 11 a.m. Central Time. You can visit willag.org and you'll see the numbers come up. I'll post my Twitter account directly into the webpage, or you can follow me on Commodity Week, at Commodity Week, that is. That's my handle on Twitter. Either way, you'll see those numbers at 11 a.m. Central Time. The reports that are due out are the final crop production report for the 2018 growing season, the wheat seedings report, that's winter wheat, and we'll also have the grain stocks report as of December 1. So those three reports plus the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report, not for the month of January, but for February, will be released tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central. You mentioned the president and China. That's the reason mostly that soybeans are lower for the day. On a couple of things, there was a story out that said President Xi and President Trump are unlikely now to meet prior to March 1, and that'll push things back even further than we had thought, though the president himself had said he does not expect a March 1 event to happen. And I like Alan Brugler's thought on this. He told us this on Commodity Week, I think, last week, or maybe on the closing market report last week. One of the two, he did both of them, which was simply that, you know, kind of ignore it because it's all part of the trade and negotiation process, and don't worry about it just yet. So wait and see how the trade, of course, reacts. Now, what I want you to turn your attention to, and you started to talk a little bit about this, and I saw this on the charts myself. When you look at the monthly charts, a higher high to start the month, worried that you might tip into a lower low, do your long-term cycles or other cycles tell you some of the direction that we might be headed?
My longer-term cycles, I got to be bearish all the way into the 2020s. But when you look at intermittent cycles, and it'd be more like a seasonal cycle, I guess I'm still got my flag planted that we will see normal seasonal strength into the early part of the growing season. So I think the overall trend will stay sideways to higher. It might be mostly sideways, but I do think the biases will be to the upside until we get the crop planted. We see what kind of spring weather pattern we're going to have. We see what kind of summer weather pattern we're going to have. But in the short term, I think I mentioned to you that I think we missed last Thursday, but I did talk a couple weeks ago. I'm still in the opinion that the market is very vulnerable to price weakness during February and going into the first part of March timeframe. And I think one of the fundamental reasons for that is I think there's a lot of country movement that needs to take place here before all the roads get posted, and we need to see some farmers selling. Farmers still own a lot of inventory. So I think that could be the fundamental reason that does it. The other fundamental reason might do it is, like you mentioned, that the China trade deal may not come in time enough to give us a late winter rally. It'll be more of a spring rally, but that's going to be before farmers, you know, farmers are going to have to generate some revenue before they go to the field. A lot of people like to get their bins empty before they go to the field. So, and like I said, tomorrow's report, there's probably a chance of a bullish surprise in it. But with the type of supplies that we have, I just see it real hard finding anything bullish in tomorrow's report. And I think it's just going to remind everybody that we have adequate supplies of grain, and it's pretty much up to, we're waiting around for a major weather problem to take hold and reduce supplies at some point in time to get a big rally going.
Hey, thanks so much, and we look forward to having you on Commodity Week Live tomorrow afternoon.
Very well, Todd.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, politicians are being pragmatic and just not political when weighing in on some of the farm goals after President Trump's State of the Union address. Lawmakers' divisions are not just partisan. Trump ally and GOP finance chair Chuck Grassley, for instance, says China's recent good faith soybean buys, and they simply don't make up for the damage from Trump's tariff wars.
Prior to the tariff, China was buying 60%, and now it's 14%. If the current situation continues, there's no doubt several million more acres of land could be developed in South America for soybean production. Once those supply chains develop, there's little reason to believe that they would suddenly be disbanded if China dropped its 25% tariff on U.S. soybeans following a negotiated agreement.
Blaming the unpredictability of the administration's trade policies while hoping for a China deal, including enforceable reforms by the March 1st deadline to head off more tariffs, President Trump also urged lawmakers to come together to pass the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. But Trade Chair Grassley says lawmakers will want to first take back some of the president's Section 232 powers to levy tariffs on metals imports.
He's got to remove 232 tariffs so that Congress can focus on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, because it won't be brought up either by me or you won't. If it was brought up by me without that consideration, it's not going to go forward. So I want it to go forward, and so the first step is on aluminum and steel to get those tariffs off.
The American Farm Bureau Federation, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and others echoed the president's call to quickly ratify the USMCA. National Farmers Union blamed Trump for lost markets and further farm price losses. Let's stay with the pragmatic side of those tariffs for just a moment. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Business Roundtable, and two other coalitions with dozens of trade associations involved are backing legislation now dealing with tariffs in national security situations. Legislation before Congress would require congressional approval before the president can impose tariffs based on, quote, national security. President Donald Trump used that authority to imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum imports, and he's threatened to do the same thing with foreign-made vehicles and imported auto parts. Similar bills introduced last year to limit that authority did not make it through Congress. However, it's a little more uncertain now that the Democrats control the House of Representatives. Business groups of all varieties say that the Trump tariffs and retaliatory duties that came from our trading partners in response have hurt American businesses. They say U.S. industry, farmers, and workers have all suffered financial strain, and it's time for Congress to step up and assert itself when it comes to American trade policy. The 30th bicameral Congressional Trade Authority Act was introduced in both the House and the Senate on January 30th, and supporters are still trying to figure out how much interest there is from other lawmakers. Let's move now from trade policy to trade competitors. Soybean harvest in Paraná, that's Brazil's second largest soybean producing state, has reached 25% complete, and that's well ahead of last season's pace. Government forecasting agencies there say the state suffered through a mini drought in December. However, early yield results show no material loss. Only 6% of the state's soy fields are reportedly in bad condition compared to none last year. Another 34% are considered average compared to 14% in the previous cycle, and the remaining fields are considered in good condition. Brazil's crop will be short of the record high estimates of 122 million metric tons. Elsewhere in South America, Argentina is said to be looking to a good harvest, although they're still in the season. Harvest expectations in Argentina look like a 53 to 55 million metric ton crop there, coming off last year's drought, and just a 38 million metric ton crop. And finally today, the National Farmers Union is mourning the loss of a former president, Cyril H. Carpenter, who passed away on February the 4th. Carpenter grew up on a family farm in Sauk Center, Minnesota, joining Minnesota Farmers Union as a lobbyist and a secretary in 1965. He served as president of MFU from 1972 to 84, and in 1984, he was elected by the National Farmers Union membership to serve as president, a position he held until 1988. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. We're joined by Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds, and agmarket.net. First, probably ought to discuss that, agmarket.net. You've got a brand new business and some partners. We'll have Jim McCormick on with us for Commodity Week tomorrow. Thanks so much for being with us, and congratulations, Matt.
Yeah, thanks. Basically, a couple of my good buddies there, Jim and then Brian Split, we all kind of decided to form together and join a new venture. Had an opportunity to create a farm division for John Stewart and Associates, who happens to be mostly commercially based currently, but they want to develop a farm division, and they had approached me about doing that. So able to enlist a couple of good friends to do that, and we're pretty excited about it.
All right. Folks can look up agmarket.net. That's the address on the web. Kind of a placeholder there at the moment, but eventually things will be there for you to look at. Speaking of looking at, this was a pretty interesting day in Chicago. Beans were down 9 cents. Is that all on the Chinese news?
Well, I think that that has a lot to do with it for sure. Of course, there's always going to be the idea that some pre-report positioning be going on, but certainly it didn't help that people are saying that Trump and Xi were not going to meet before March 1st, which would suggest that no deal would be in place, which would also suggest that the tariffs were going to get jacked up. So I definitely think that that had something to do with the market being down. I don't know if it had all of it, but by all means, it didn't help.
And as you were talking, I think you're in where, Ames, Iowa today? Is that right? What'd you tell the folks there?
Well, essentially, that if you've got ideas about where you want to get some grain sold, to have some offers in place, because I expect extremely volatile trade tomorrow. Obviously, a lot of information to filter through. Seems to me like the market's expecting a friendly report, especially with regards to corn, which would concern me a little bit, because I think that would necessitate you need to get a really friendly report. But, I'm not bearish by any means. I just definitely want to be ready to go and be on our toes.
Anything else that producers have been asking you about, especially as it relates to the corn they have in their bins?
you know, I think producers are trying to figure out, do we keep this in commercial storage? And I think with especially with commercial storage, I want to go ahead and move the corn, re-own it. I do think the corn has a story to tell, probably a good chance to see a little bit of friendly move coming in the spring time frame. But as far as the bushels in the bin, I think we can be a little more hesitant. And, you know, cash owner is king, and I think that that's going to ring true this year.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. We appreciate you being with us.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting Channel, seedsagmarket.net. It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's begin with Brazil, where they have had an interesting growing season so far, though I'm told that it may be getting wetter there. What do you see?
Well, the weather forecast is certainly looking more promising for rain in the drought-stricken areas of Brazil, which does include a majority of their growing belt. As of Tuesday morning, the past 60 days had been drier than normal for 65% of first crop corn production, 95% of second crop corn production, and 75% of soybean production. So we're talking about a widespread area of drought in Brazil. Now, as noted, the pattern is looking wetter, and that's simply because a number of cool fronts are going to pass. Each one of those will develop some thunderstorms here and there, initially in the driest central and northern areas over the next 3 to 4 days, and then across a wider area over Monday through Friday of next week. Once you add everything up, we're going to conclude that most areas will see near normal rainfall over the next 2 weeks. And near normal is anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5 inches of rain. So this is a lot of rain coming up for them, certainly compared to what's happened throughout the growing season, where most areas have not been anywhere near normal. But again, pretty close to normal with, let's just say, around 4 inches of rain over the next 2 weeks.
And in Argentina, how will they fare?
Well, Argentina will not be as nearly as wet as they have been. Nearly all of the corn and soybean growing region was wetter than normal over the last 30 to 60 days. We haven't seen too much, though, in the way of excessive rainfall, and that's because all of the big-time rains occurred to the immediate north and east of the growing belt. So it would be kind of like if we were talking about heavy rains in Virginia or West Virginia, somewhere to the east of the corn belt. It really doesn't have a big impact on what's going on in the heart of the growing belt, and that's similar to what's happened there in Argentina. Now, going forward, we will see some more rain between Saturday and Monday. Around 1 to 2 inches is expected across a pretty big area. So things aren't going to be looking too bad there. Even though it does turn dry after that for about a week, temperatures will also be cool. So all these problems in Brazil that we've been talking about are kind of being offset a little bit by some of the problems in Argentina. Though keep in mind, Argentina's growing region is quite a bit smaller than Brazil's.
Here in the United States, we'll continue with kind of the wet sort of function. It seems like we're going to get quite a bit of rain, and that could be a problem.
Well, this is a very wet setup. You don't see weather patterns that get a whole lot more active than this. We're going to see wave after wave of energy move through the central U.S. over the next couple of weeks. Each one of those systems, very similar to what we've seen yesterday and we'll see again over the next 24 hours, will produce rain across the Corn Belt. The area that will see the most rain is in the southern areas of the Corn Belt. So let's say to the south of Champaign-Urbana, and especially in southern Illinois, and then across the northern Delta. Todd, as you know, that is a key soft red winter wheat growing belt region, and that area is looking at a lot of rain over the next couple of weeks. We could see anywhere from 4 to 8 inches, which is well more than 1 month's worth of rainfall. So the potential for river and field flooding is going to increase as we move through mid-month. Whether or not that has an impact on the future here in March and April, way too early to tell. But one thing we can tell you is that it's going to be wet there for a while.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
You're welcome, Todd. Talk to you soon.
That's Mike Tenora. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.